Welcome back to Cocktails and Classics. I'm Dylan. Joining me is Cam. Not necessarily a classic, but we're taking a look at the 2023 film Dragons. Fucking me. Dungeons and Dragons.
Wow.
Honor Among Thieves. Yeah. Goofed it in the first sentence.
That didn't take long.
To kick things off and get everyone in the right mood, we're going to go to this week's cocktail. It comes from Jenny D on YouTube. And this is our D&D themed cocktail, the Potion of Heroism, which is 1.5 ounces of tequila, 1.5 ounces of fresh lime juice, and 1/2 ounce of blue curacao. So it's kind of in margarita territory. Blue curacao, it's kind of like triple sec.
Yeah.
Because I think it is also orange as well.
Yeah, it is orange flavored.
So it's pretty much just like a blue marg. So you can't really go wrong. And it's like, you know, it's kind of themed. I feel like video games are more so where you'd have like the colored potions. But, you know, video game nerds and D&D, there's a little, you know.
Pretty big overlap.
Venn diagram. It's just a circle.
Probably mostly a circle, yeah. Well, on the side of the, I think the D&D circle is like subsumed by almost entirely by the video game circle. Yeah. The company that owns D&D though, not great.
Is that Wizards of the Coast?
Yeah. Who's also owned by Hasbro, I think.
Hence why we got this movie.
Right. Which is kind of cool, but I don't know. The same company, like parent company, they also own Magic the Gathering, I think. Mm. Let me double check that before I slander them. Yes. So Hasbro owns Magic the Gathering and I think also Wizards of the Coast.
Why did they suck?
So it was actually Wizards of the Coast. That's right. Okay, so apparently they, like a store sent a YouTuber some unreleased Magic the Gathering cards.
Mm-hmm.
What did Wizards of the Coast do with this? So, you know, he's like, oh, I got these cards. He put them on his YouTube channel, whatever. Yeah. Have you ever played Red Dead Redemption 2 or 1?
Yeah.
Remember the bad guys in that? The Pinkerton gang? Not even really a gang. They were like these, like, they're basically mercenaries for hire. That, okay. So anyway, the Wizard of the Coast hired the bad guys from Red Dead Redemption 2 to go to this guy's house to basically try and force him to not, like, take down everything and, like, return the cards.
Oh.
They sent literal Pinkertons to his house.
Interesting. Is that legal? I feel like that's like got to be extortion.
I don't know.
Something.
I don't know. I will tell you this, though. The Pinkerton Detective Agency was so bad that at some point, I think around the turn of the like 20th century, the U.S. government basically passed a law that just said that no government entity is allowed to hire them.
Wow. Hey, so, look where they're headquartered. Ann Arbor, Michigan.
What? That's news to me. Oh my God.
At least that's what it says on Wikipedia. It says they were founded in Chicago.
Yeah, I do see that. So anyway, also the Wizards of the Coast are known to be a little scummy with their IP. What was it recently? There was another thing recently that they were going to like charge a subscription or something to use. There was something involving D&D that they were going to start monetizing when it wasn't really monetized before at all, and people were getting mad about that.
I know they kind of like, you know, speaking from experience, when we were playing during COVID and stuff, like virtually, they were like, they would like charge for their like player profile, like what is it, D&D Beyond or whatever, like the like online service. Like it was like you could do very minimal stuff until you bought like other shit. I was like, come on, like you don't have to sell me on all your fucking expansions virtually just so I can unlock like a trait for my character.
Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves is a 2003 American fantasy heist comedy film directed by Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly, who co-wrote the screenplay with Michael Gillio. From a story by Chris McKay and Gillio. Obviously, it's based on Dungeons & Dragons. And it's set in the Forgotten Realms campaign setting. It has no connection to the previous film trilogy released between 2000 and 2012.
I didn't really know there were movies.
I thought this was the first one, but...
I knew there were others, but... I don't know if they were actually good.
Yeah, I'm going to probably say no because I don't know about them. I feel like it's something that you would hear about. Like, oh, have you played Dungeons & Dragons? Yeah. Have you seen the movies? Yeah, okay. It currently sits at a 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb. It stars Chris Pine, Michelle Rodriguez, Justice Smith, Sophia Lillis, Hugh Grant. Bradley Cooper makes an appearance.
He was in the movie for all of like 5 minutes.
And then I don't know how to say his name. The guy from Bridgerton. Reggae Jean Page.
All right.
It's the story of a charming thief and a band of unlikely adventurers embark on an epic quest to retrieve a lost relic, but things go dangerously awry when they run afoul of the wrong people. You had never seen this before we watched this just now, right?
No, I mean, it's only been out for, I don't know, 3 months, 4 months. I don't remember when exactly what month it came out, but no, I didn't watch it in the theater.
Okay, yeah, me either. And I had I'd actually just gotten a copy from like a giveaway. It came out March 31st, by the way. But I had just like gotten a copy of it, so I was like gonna watch it. And then when you mentioned it, you were like, "Oh, what about D&D? I think it just came to Paramount." I was like, "Sure." It gives me an incentive to watch things. I fully expected this to suck.
I mean, the reviews people were giving it were pretty solid.
I didn't
like on Letterboxd.
I didn't look at reviews. I just, you know, I saw it and I was like, typically they kind of really suck when they make fantasy stuff that's not like, I feel like when it's not like you know, Lord of the
Book
Rings
based thing.
Yeah, or like Game of Thrones. I think typically the fantasy stuff kind of sucks, and then like especially when it's like kind of like video game like nerd stuff based.
Yeah.
It really kind of most of the time sucks. I haven't seen Super Mario Brothers, but I've heard good things.
Heard it's decent enough, yeah.
So I was like, this is gonna not be great. And then watching it, I was kinda like, oh, okay. Alright, this is pretty good. And there's enough in it, I think, to have the casual fan enjoy it, but also enough niche things to have the D&D fan enjoy it, like some of the you know, just from like the few campaigns we played, I'm like, oh, like that, obviously they didn't go to Phandalin, but like some
played
of the
Neverwinter, they reference like Baldur's Gate and a different one I don't remember. Yeah, there's Coast, a lot of stuff in there.
Corn's Keep, yeah. I was like, oh man, those places. And then the main character being a bard, it's just, it was perfect. I was like, Chris Pine's got to be the bard, right? Like, he's got, and then the show started. I was like, okay, yep.
Well, and they had, if you remember, the bardic inspiration trait that you had as a bard.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Chris Pine the whole time, right? Like, hyping everybody up, getting them to, like, you know, succeed, which is exactly what bardic inspiration is.
Yeah. It's funny. For those reasons to me, I'm like, there's a lot of like subtle nerdy hints to like, if you've ever played the D&D, you like,
they had a mimic chest in there. I feel like watching it too, like you watch it and it's kind of funny. You can kind of imagine where like they're in combat situations or they're in like situations where you can imagine like if they were actually like, you know, being controlled in a campaign, it was like they rolled for something and it was either like really, it was like good enough or not quite good enough or like a critical like failure or critical success, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was just like, I don't know, it's kind of cool to see because I feel like their combat like kind of varied in like how successful they were. And you, I don't know, it was kind of fun to imagine like, oh, this is, you know, like that was a critical failure there. That was not good.
Or they like, they slowly get better throughout the whole movie. Mm-hmm. So then at the end, they're kind of like, you know, a little OP, a little high level.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting, I mean, this would have been way too meta, but I was kind of expecting it to not just be like true to like
real.
Yeah. Like at some point I was like expecting somebody to kind of be like, oh, and maybe this is just me being like nerding out or whatever, but I'm like, oh, maybe at one point somebody does like table talk or something and it like kind of takes takes you out of the film. Yeah.
Like, I'm glad they didn't do that. I feel like that's really corny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, the movie is kind of corny in itself.
The movie is kind of corny, but that would have taken it to like the next level. Yeah. Man, really?
Like, well, it's kind of like, I don't know. It's, to me, it would have been like the Lego movie. You know how in the Lego movie, at one point, it like shows like Will Ferrell. He's like the dad, like in the basement whatever, you know? So, like, to me, it would have kind of been like that move. But no, I think it is better that it stayed like within like being a true to itself, like fantasy film. And not just like, we're actually just people playing a D&D game and this is right. the story, you know? I feel like that would have detracted a little bit because it would have been, you know, you kind of would have been like, what did I watch this for then?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was going to talk about the intro scene with Chris Pine, like after they, when they go to their hearing.
Oh, yeah.
For their, like, appeal or whatever. And they're like, we've got to get, is it Jarnathan?
Jarnathan, yeah.
They're like, we have to get Jarnathan
we need, is Jarnathan on his way? Is he going to be here? This really hinges on him being here.
And he's like telling this whole story with this like unreliable narrative. Yeah, you're like, huh? That's so like.
It's funny. Yeah, the backstory. It's like, how will you care if you don't know what my motivations are?
And then he like, yeah, they're like, we've got to have Jarnathan here. And you're like, okay, so Jarnathan is like, that's one of their friends. Like, you know, like why do they need him here to like for this thing? And then as soon as he walks in, he's like, oh my god, Jarnathan! And they bust out the window and. The only reason he was there is because he's a bird.
Yeah.
And they just need him to escape out the window.
Even though they approved their pardon anyway.
I know. It's like, oh my God.
God damn it.
Well, and then at the end, it's funny when they like do that bit again, but then it's just a brick wall.
Yeah.
They got rid of the window.
I was like, they put curtains where the hole in the wall is. And then he jumps and it's just brick.
Oh, yeah, I was like, oh god, they're about to set up a sequel, Jesus! And then I was like, oh nope, it's just a brick wall.
Gotta have a different bad guy than this guy. I feel like he's just a pawn, you know? Like
yeah,
like Hugh Grant's guy is just a thief. It was weird. I feel like he's obviously like a slimy guy, but like it's still not clear to me why he cared so much about keeping Edgin's daughter around.
Yeah,
that was the weird part to me. It's like maybe he did feel like a parental bond to her, but I don't know. He just was like gonna leave them. Like he just wanted to steal them, like all the money, and leave.
Yeah, I mean maybe he just wanted it as like a another asset, I guess, like a power play, because then he can be like, oh well, I have your daughter, you know. Because that's all she is at the end to him is like he's literally like, oh, you know, I'll kill the ones I love to get what I want or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe she's just another power play to him that he like doesn't really care about her. Like he did have some sort of like bond, he thinks, but in the end, he doesn't really care. Also, D&D is like a weird. It's a weird universe. Because it's like somewhat modern, but not like it's.
What do you mean?
It's kind of like obviously like old timey medieval type vibe, but then like you know when they get in that boat, it's kind of got like leather seats and shit. Like it's like a nice boat. Like I don't know. Like it's somewhat contemporary, but not because there's obviously no like there's no tech, but like some of the shit is like techy.
You don't think they had nice furniture back in the day? They were just all sitting on sticks.
not like upholstered leather seats.
You don't think they had upholstered seating? They did. What do you think thrones are made of? You think they're just like hard, like wood or metal? All like no. They had,
yeah, you
they
ever
had
seen
cushions.
That? You ever seen the Game of Thrones throne?
I have seen that, but
it's this like all isn't, it's all swords and shit. That's not comfortable.
They don't sit on the swords though. At least I don't think they do.
They sit on swords that are flat, and they're just not pointing at that part.
Right. They're just flat. No, I mean, they definitely had upholstery, right? Like, they definitely had cushions. I think they had cushions.
All right, let's see. When did upholstery...
This is so stupid.
When did upholstery begin? 18th century.
There you go. Okay, but, like, that is not old enough. Actually, No, but they had to have had something, right? Like, okay, what about that? That seems too specific. I don't know. I just feel like there had to have been something, right?
No.
You're telling me people were just sitting on wood chairs for thousands of years, and then finally someone was like, hey, what if we, like, studded all this, like, cool material onto the chair?
History of furniture. This has turned into a furniture podcast.
This is bad.
So they had stools with woven seats as far back as 1450 BC.
Okay, that's pretty old.
Nah, dude, this fucking 12th century throne is literally just bronze. Like, this dude's sitting on fucking metal.
Okay.
Oh, but here we go.
16th century upheld? Is that too old? Is that too new, I mean?
I think
1500s.
1500s is around medieval. I don't know.
This is going to be bad. It's going to showcase how bad my history is once you leave, like, the 1800s.
I mean, here you go. So, first and second century, they had couches with, like, canvas cushions.
Sorry, it lasted 1,000 years from 400 AD to 1400 AD. So, 1500s is still too new.
That is.
So maybe you're right about the upholstered chairs. I guess I had thought they were older. You'd think they'd want to sit on something that's nice. They don't have that long. They didn't have that long to sit on the stuff.
I think they had, like, cushions, you know?
Did they, though? I mean, I don't know.
Well, like a simplistic, like, here's a sack with some fucking fluff in it. Not like...
Maybe they didn't even think about that until the 1500s.
Once the hemorrhoids got too bad, they had to
get some cushions. These people were just sleeping on wooden beds, too. Just, like, slats. I can see the poor life expectancy. I don't know if I'd last that long sleeping on that, sitting on that.
I mean, they woke up every day stiff as a board. Like, God, kill me. All right. God, how did we even get to this? Upholstery.
You said that the boat was too new because it had upholstered seating.
I called them out, yeah.
I mean, they have magic, so I imagine they, you know... Maybe they were just like, magic me some chairs. And they were like, hey, check this out. You haven't seen this before. And it was upholstery. Like, all right, that's pretty cool. The only explanation for this is magic, because we can't fathom how someone would do this otherwise.
I do enjoy the whole movie where they're like, just magic us across. Or, like, this should fix anything. He's like, it doesn't work like that. Like,
it's not magic. Yeah. Just magic just us over it. There.
And then he does. He gets the fucking staff. The hither thither.
Hither thither. Yeah.
What were your thoughts on Dungeons and Dragons besides the upholstery?
I think we got to go back. it was good. I mean, I had known that had pretty positive reviews going into it. The box office for them was disappointing. So I don't know if we'll get. I think whether or not we get an actual sequel kind of depends on how it does streaming-wise. I mean, I thought it was really good. It was fun. It definitely did not take itself too seriously, which was good. Because I feel like sometimes that's where movies fail, where they try and adapt material like this, is they take themselves too seriously. Mm-hmm. When the players don't. You know, like, I think D&D is, like, supposed to be kind of, like, lighthearted and fun, you know? Like, it's not supposed to be super serious. Like, people do take it, like, kind of seriously, but, like, I don't know. There's always shenanigans that happens in the game when you're playing it. And it's cool that it plays out in the movie. I know they showed it in the trailer, but there was the one where they were, like, asking the skeleton, like, 5 questions.
Yeah.
He was like... Did that count as a question? Yes. Dies.
I was thinking, like, this movie goes a little too long, but I'm like,
I didn't think it was that long. I don't know.
I'm like, is that, like, another bit of, like, tying it into the campaigns?
Oh.
They usually go a little too long.
Forever. Yeah. The play sessions. Yeah. I mean, that is funny, but I didn't think it was that long. But yeah, I thought it was good. I liked it a lot. I kind of hope they make another one. I thought it was good. You know, every time I see Chris Pine in roles like this, I'm like, I'm kind of surprised Chris Pine is here. But then I look at his IMDb page and I'm like, I guess this is kind of what he does. I don't know. Like, I thought he was in much more than he actually is. Like, I feel like Chris Pine is pretty well known, but it's like the movies he's actually famous in for is like Star Trek. He's in Wonder Woman. And that's kind of like it.
I mean, he's in like a couple other things, but like, yeah.
Like what, you know, that's like super well known, you know?
Looking at his like history, like not much.
So I'm saying is like, I don't know. I feel like I think of Chris Pine in maybe like in higher esteem than like his IMDb page warrants. Yeah. Like, who am I criticizing this, right? But like, it's just funny. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's mostly just Star Trek.
That is weird. Because I was kind of thinking about that, too. I was like, man, I was like, what have I seen him in recently? And not much. Like his voice came up, and I was like, oh, yeah, he was just in something. And I see that he was in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, yeah. And I was like, mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, he was Peter Parker.
He was also in Don't Worry, Darling, I guess.
I didn't see that one. I heard it was bad.
I didn't either. Yeah, I heard it was okay. Not very good.
That is interesting to me that I feel like he's kind of... People, like, love him, and he's kind of, like, heralded. Maybe it's just because he's a good-looking dude, and everyone's like, oh,
I mean, I like him in general.
I think he's a like, funny guy. Like,
yeah.
Like, I feel like he kind of leans most of the time to, like, somewhat more humorous roles.
Yeah.
And I do like what he does. I just feel like, yeah, he doesn't really do much.
Then again, like, I feel like once you are in a role like Star Trek, I guess, I don't know, like... Like, what else has William Shatner really done besides Star Trek, you know? Like, I guess he was in that one episode of, I think, Twilight Zone?
Big Bang Theory? Right?
No, what? William Shatner? Was he in Big Bang Theory?
Probably.
Probably. You don't even know? You're gonna slander Will Shatner like that?
Bill.
Will? We're on a first name basis?
I swear he was in an episode. Hold on.
He might have been. You might be right. But he's also in, like, one of the most famous episodes of Twilight Zone. It's, like, on the plane, you know? There's something on the wing.
Oh, really? That's him?
Yeah, it's the episode called Nightmare at 20,000 Feet.
Okay, yeah, that is. Dude.
Which is that?
William Shatner has 251 acting credits.
That's a lot.
He is in Big Bang Theory for one episode.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. It's really sad that you knew that.
My parents used to watch that shit all the time.
Ugh. So, anyway, I like Chris Pine. I was just kind of surprised to see him in this movie, but then I looked at his like movie page, and I was like, all right, I guess it's not that surprising. But I'm glad he was in it. I mean, I think he really did tie a lot of it together.
Yeah.
I think he's able to like straddle. I think he's able to straddle the like comedy action line pretty well.
I do think Chris Pine carries this movie. Well, I think Michelle Rodriguez's character has some good moments. I feel like
she's
most of the time she's kind of just, yeah, she's kind of like the muscle.
I'm a big fan of Justice Smith in this movie. I think he does really well too.
I feel like he always plays the same character. Like he's kind of typecast at this point.
Like kind of awkward.
Yeah, like the... I have no self-confidence, like,
yeah.
Quirky, kind of awkward guy. Like, that's what he did in Jurassic
Park. You're just saying that because that was his character in The Quarry.
Well, I was going to say in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I didn't see him in Jurassic Park. Did you see Detective Pikachu?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, but still, all right? It was still good.
No, I like him. I just think he's a little typecast. He's in that HBO show, though, that I haven't watched. The one that kind of looks like it's sort of like Euphoria, but not Euphoria.
Not Idols.
No, Generation.
The hell is that?
Oh, maybe it's definitely not like Euphoria, but it is a dramedy.
That doesn't look like Euphoria at all.
The previews made me think it was... Oh, yeah. See, like, this poster makes me think of Euphoria. I don't know. It's like a more serious, like, you know, high school dramedy type deal.
The girl from It is in here?
Yep.
She's okay. Yeah, I do, but I ultimately do think that like Chris Pine was probably tied it all together and made it a lot better for him being in it.
I don't love Hugh Grant in this movie.
Oh yeah.
I feel like he kind of plays like.
Was it because of his character, or you just don't like how he acted him?
I feel like a little of both. I feel like Hugh Grant has this like bad guy character persona that he plays in movies. Like if you've seen Paddington 2.
No, I haven't seen Paddington 2.
It's like the best movie ever. What are you fucking doing?
I've heard really good things about Paddington and Paddington 2.
You should watch them. But Hugh Grant is the bad guy's kind of a spoiler. And one of them, but he's kind of like the same dude per se. Like he's like that, like snarky, like slimy. I'm such a good guy, but actually I'm not a good guy kind of thing.
I gotcha. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I kind of don't like that character, but it's like, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, the budget for this movie's gotta be massive, right?
Like it was $150 million.
The CG was awesome.
I do know that one. It was $150 million, and I think they grossed $200 box office, so a little above break even.
So they lost money.
I'm sure with their Hollywood accounting, they lost some money. the CG and stuff was pretty good in the movie. I thought like all of that was pretty good. Like I don't know what anything was practical, but I feel like the CG never took me out of the movie, which is good.
The chubby dragon.
Oh, that was so funny. He showed his face. I was like, why is he so fat looking? And then he was just eating the entire time.
And they were like, oh no, he is supposed to be that. I was like, okay. Oh my god. Yeah, that was hilarious because I was like, same thing. I was like, why does the dragon look so big? Like his face is massive.
Yeah.
No, just a pudgy dragon. Yeah, I think to me, it was a little long, but at the same time, I'm like, what would I cut out?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like, the whole sure point of the whole thing is kind of like all this like zigzagging around to get to the final like, you know, quest or fight or boss or whatever. Because that's kind of how, you know, D&D campaigns run. And so, I don't really know, honestly, what you would really get rid of and still keep the flavor. I'm not sure. Because they also, like, introduced everybody's, like, backstory while, like, throughout the movie, which I thought was good. They had the whole part with Zenk, even though he didn't, like, stay with the party or anything like that. I don't know. Yeah, I don't really think...
He's the equivalent of, what's the fucking goblin?
Oh.
For our campaign.
God. What was his name?
Was it Greep?
What?
Was it Greep? Group?
No. Group? That Droop. Droop?
Droop.
That was it.
That's what it was. it's that random side character that like shows up and joins the party, and then you're just like, how do I get rid of this?
Get rid of this. Because
it's so funny. It's so funny in the movie when he's like, all right, and now I'm gonna leave you, and then starts talking again, and he's like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
But bye, and then he's like walking away. They're like,
is he gonna walk in a straight line? What is he gonna do with that rock? He's like, oh, he's just going right over it. he walks so straight.
It's like stupid, subtle humor like that.
Yeah.
Even the like climax of the movie is like just so quintessential, like D&D, like the way you kind of like get around things, like how they put the portal on the balloon and like. Yeah. Dump the treasure out to get people off. I'm like, you know what? I could see that happening in a campaign. Like people are like, how do we not have to fight the big boss, but we can like distract things, you know, like I feel like that is very, very D&D-esque.
Yeah. I feel like I didn't know enough about the Red Wizards to really care that much about them as a villain.
Well, they're not even like the villain per se. Like,
I mean,
they're talked about. They are, but it's like they're talked about like once or twice, and then it's like Sophina or whatever is like literally the only one you ever encounter besides the guys at the beginning who like kill his wife.
Yeah.
Because like other than that, they're not necessarily the villains, and even like, you know, the party doesn't know they're the villain really until later.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, I guess kind of, but I feel like they find out pretty early on that it's a red, Was it Red Witch? Wizard?
Red Wizard? Because I'm like, I'm thinking like, you know, when they go, because they don't know, like, you know, the last 20 minutes of the movie or whatever, after they get the treasure and they look over and they're like, oh shit, that's the
thing. Well, they know, like, but they don't. The yeah, they're like, oh, this red, what's his face is, Forge is getting help from this Red Witch. Why? Well, I don't know, but let's go take the treasure. And it, I think it just doesn't become apparent that she, because they're like, oh.
Like she had ulterior motives.
Well, because they were like, oh, what's her angle? And they were like, it doesn't matter to us. And then it only mattered, like, at the very end.
I didn't see any bugbears. I was a little little upset about the bugbears.
You got a dungeon and you got a dragon, though.
That's all I need, baby. 10 out of 10. Neither of us had seen this film, so you're going to get two fresh ratings about Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. I had to put on that, like, announcer voice. Cam, do you want to go first and give us your opinion on Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves?
Yeah, I don't know what to say, what hasn't already been said. I thought this was really good. It's a fun movie, didn't take itself too seriously. I think there's a lot for anyone to enjoy, even if you are a, you know, not a fan of D&D at all, or if you're a very hardcore fan of it. Yeah, so I thought it was fun. I gave it a 7 out of 10. That was pretty good. I would definitely watch it again. Let's put it that way.
So would you, there's a Letterboxd review here. Would you agree with this? I bestow upon this film the greatest honor I have. Movie I will put on while doing things around the house.
That's funny. I mean, yeah, I think that's fair. I don't really do that type of thing, like, personally, but I think that that level of, like, it being good is fair. Like, I would definitely watch it again.
If it was on TV, you'd kind of leave it on while you're...
Sure, if it's like, oh, this is on, all right, we'll have this on just generally. Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption. I think that's fair.
I'm going to echo the 7 out of 10. Like I said earlier, I was expecting it to not be too good. And I was pleasantly surprised, actually. You know, like we've said, it's got something for everyone in it. I think if you don't like D&D or it's not quite your thing, I think you could still enjoy the film just as a fantasy, like, comedy film. And then if you're a D&D fan, it's got so many obvious references and so many subtle references to, you know, the RPG and kind of just like RPG, like video games and all this in general. They really kind of like lean into the humorous element of so much of this. And I think that, like Cam said earlier, I think that lends a hand to the film, because if they leaned in and took this super seriously or more serious than it is, I think it kind of loses the fun, because it's not necessarily a good story. Per se, like, it's not a Lord of the Rings fantasy. It's, you know, a goofy, low-level fantasy, like, concept. But then let's add these jokes and humor and poke fun at it in the sense of, like, oh, it's this crazy bridge and you gotta cross it with all these intricate rules. And then the one guy steps on the bridge and they're like, oh, shit. And then they find just a little portal gun, basically. Like, haha, okay. Like, It's those sort of bits where it's like, all right, we're gonna poke fun of ourselves before you can poke fun at us, you know. And I enjoy it. I would recommend it. Check it out, especially because it's on Paramount right now. Why not? Like, if you got 2 hours and 14 minutes, give it a viewing.
Exactly. But if you have 2 hours and 15, go do something else.
Watch an even longer movie.
Watch a minute longer movie.
But check it out and let us know what you think at Cocktails and Classics Pod on Instagram. You can check out our new website, www.cocktailsandclassicspod.com.
Wow, we finally got that, huh?
Yeah, 2023, baby, the year of the website.
It's a nice looking website. I am not biased. It's a good...
It's kind of cute.
Dylan did a good job putting it together, so you should go check it out. It looks really nice.
Check the show notes below. hit up the Casker links, make yourself a potion of heroism. Check us out next time. And as always, watch responsibly.